And we're going to go to Romans chapter 1 to start off. Romans chapter 1. And I'd like to teach on or share on the subject of our heart of service. Our heart of service. And specifically in our ability to have a capacity to grow in service and how that works. But our heart of service. God does desire that our lives overflow with service and be service towards Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to one another. That's who He would have us to serve. And in Romans 1, verse 1, we see where it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about us in other scriptures serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So his service was also towards God, and he specifically referenced his prayers as being part of the service. And now we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll see the one for one another. Just documenting God does want us to, who he wants us to serve. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we're also to serve one another, the believers in the body of Christ, those who are born again of God's Spirit. Our service is to the world, too, in the sense that we get to serve the bread of life, which is the best bread out there. It's got life in it, I guess, right? So service is a very needful thing and a very wonderful thing. There are all kinds of services. Our culture is loaded with services. Like if you got sick and you want to go to a doctor, what that doctor does is a service unto us. We met Andrea by, we signed up for these foot massages, and Andrea massaged my feet a number of times, and it was always very humbling to me. And, you know, it was a service, and my feet felt better. You know, she massaged my shoulders. But, you know, I think the most obvious is if you go out to dinner and this person comes up to the table, usually with a smile on their face and a little pad, and they say, I'll be your server for your meal. And they take write down what you want, they go get it, however that works, and come back with it. And then they see if you need anything else. It's a service provided. Well, we're to serve God, we're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to serve one another with love. So, but service is something that, it's not something that we were born with. Like, I haven't met a baby yet, even my own 5 children and grandchildren, and any other kid I've ever seen. When they come out of the womb, they're not like saying to the mom, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? can I just let you know, like when if I need a new diaper or something, I'll just let you know. Or, you know, they're not service oriented. They're focused completely on their own need. And they don't even know it. They just, by nature of how our bodies are focused on what they need only. And as a child grows, we've all been through this process, there comes points in life that we start realizing there are other people out there that might want something. And it's not just me that needs all this stuff. And you get a little older yet, and you might start saying, hey, I can not only take care of myself, but I could take care of somebody needs something, and I could contribute to helping fill that need. So it's a growth thing, even in the natural realm, it's a growth thing. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. The older we got in life, the more we saw, and hopefully the more we got involved. Some people see things that people need and just say, oh, well, I'm not getting involved. And, it, you know, to their own peril a lot of times. 1 Samuel chapter 1, this is a little record concerning the who eventually became the prophet Samuel. and we're going to pick it up in verse 24. This woman Hannah, who was barren, she prayed for a child, and she miraculously got healed, and she got a child. And she had said when she was praying for one that if I get pregnant, I'm going to dedicate this child to the service of the Lord. And she kept her word, and she's, verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, referring to Samuel, she took him up with her with three bullocks, that's no bull, and and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. He was the prophet. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So she dropped off Samuel at a young age at the temple in the hands of this prophet at that time. and then chapter 3, verse 1, he starts to grow. Chapter 3, and it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. So this Samuel started growing in a service. Verse 19 of chapter 3. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So he just kept growing in his understanding of the word of God and of service. And as we know, he did great things for the children of Israel in his lifetime. Wonderful things. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. So service is something that is acquired and is chosen to do by us as people. Chapter 13, verse 22, we all know about David, King David, and his life and wonderfulness of his walk with God. Chapter 13 and verse 22. This is a teaching, a sharing from Apostle Paul, and he makes reference to David. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, and this is God being quoted, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David was chosen to become the king of Israel because God knew he was a man that was seeking God's heart. He was after God's own heart. And that allowed David to grow in his service as a king. Let's go to Psalm 78. David's desire was in his heart was to do God's will. Was he born that way? No. He was born just like everybody else is born. Crying, pooping, and eating, making messes. And hearing a lot of people say gaga googa to him. These grown adults saying goofy things to him. So just like everybody else. Grew up just like all of us. And at the end of Psalm 78, verse 70, it says, he chose David also his servant to whom... and took him from the sheepfolds from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So as we know, at one time David was a shepherd. He was the one that killed Goliath with a smooth stone. And he used the stone because that's what he was used to. He was a shepherd. He knew how to sling stuff, and he was accurate, and that's what he used. And he was a good shepherd. And, you know, we remember a record where it says that he slew a lion and a bear. You know, he took that lion by the throat because it was trying to take his sheep away. And most people, including me, would say, you know, the lion's got to eat too. Let's one sheep out of the fold here. But not for David. David was required, you know, his job was to protect those sheep, and he wasn't going to let a lion stop him. And he was courageous. Same with that bear. He just, that was his mindset. And God saw that, and he removed him from following sheep, pregnant sheepies, to helping God's people and serving them. And he did it with the skillfulness of his hand, which is a figure of speech. So let's go to Proverbs. You may think in terms of, and I often wonder, well, how did David get to be like that? You know, it's very admirable, and many times we want to imitate those type of things. How did it get like that? Well, part of the answer is in Proverbs chapter 4. Some of the directives to young people, but it's really applicable to all people. Chapter 4, and in verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." And this is referring to the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, a lot of things concerning what, you know, the truth of God's word. Health to to all their flesh. In verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Basically, we are to take God's word and place it into our heart, which is not the physical pumping heart, but the seat of our personal life, the heart of who we are, our soul life, and our thinking. We're to place that in our lives. And David did that. He kept placing God's word into his life. He was taught it, and he accepted it, and he kept placing it into his heart and kept it there, guarded it. If he guarded those sheep with his life, what do you think he did with the scriptures that he learned? I'm sure he guarded it. Because remember when he wanted to challenge Goliath, he told King Saul, hey, he's defying the army of the living God. He didn't say he's a Philistine. And he said, God's going to help me win this battle. He was definitely God-minded. Let's go to Psalm 119. And here's a little insight, too, as far as our capacity to grow in service. Psalm 119, we're going to read a few verses, starting with verse 26. This psalm was written by revelation by David. And this section talks about the deep desire for wanting to learn the scriptures, the truth. Verse 26, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." And heaviness does come at times, but he looked for God to strengthen him. "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant unto me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto my testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. So he just had a great respect for God, an awe for God, and the truth of his word, and that's where he chose to go. He had a lot of other choices, but he chose to go to the scriptures. And I wanted to take a closer look at verse 32, where it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So he's going to run towards the way of the commandments, and it says when. The word when could be translated, it is translated a lot of different ways in the Old Testament, and some of the times it's translated as since, sometimes it's translated because, and here it would be better supplied as either since or because. I will run the way of thy commandments because thou shalt enlarge my heart. And the word enlarge, believe it or not, just means to make bigger. It means to grow wide, to get bigger, you know, which indicates that a heart can get bigger. And I was going to illustrate a balloon today, but I couldn't find any, and I didn't think to ask Susan. But, you know, we've all blown up a balloon, and you start, depending on how much breath you got, how far you get, but you know, you start putting air in it, and it gets a little bigger, and a little bigger, and a little bigger, and if you stop before it pops, it just keeps getting bigger. And our heart is like that. It continues to enlarge as we go to God and look towards God, because, and then the word heart is really often translated as understanding. It's not the physical heart. It's the understanding of our hearts of what the truth of God's word is and who God is. So basically saying, as it says here, I will run the way of thy commandments because thou shalt enlarge my understanding. As he learned God's word, his understanding grew. We do that in any subject, but specifically God's word. As we go to God's word and we read it, our understanding starts to, we increase with an understanding. And as we increase with an understanding, we realize how wonderful God is and how big he is. And we want to do something with that. You know, we start seeing God's love bigger. We start seeing God's peace bigger, his mercy bigger. You know, like if we just complain about everybody and anybody because we don't like what they're doing, or we don't think what they're doing is good, or according to our opinion, but when we never see God's mercy, we may never grow in that area of service. Look at Jesus Christ. He ate with publicans, which were not liked by most people. He ate with sinners. He went where there was a hunger for God. And he had God's mercy living in his life. So if we learn more about mercy, we will run with the commandments that God gives us in guiding us to serve. We won't be held back by, the guy smells, got body odor. I mean, we've all been around people like that where they just smell. But you still want to bless them. You know what I mean? The things that go on. And
it's true.
You know, like if we see God's mercy and his love and his forgiveness so big, there's nobody that's not worth trying to help. You know? So that's why it says he's going to run the way of the commandments as he starts, and his heart getting enlarged because of the understanding of what God's showing him. And did he read God's word? I think he did. Remember Saul, who tried to kill him numerous times when Saul was the king? And then he had the opportunity to kill Saul. He was sleeping in a cave, and he had his sword with him, and he could have killed him right then and there. And all he did, was cut the bottom of his skirt. And then he took the Abner's spear. Abner was supposed to be guarding the king, sleeping right next to him. He stole that thing, left, went out in the valley, and called out and said, "Hey, I don't hate you. You know, stop, I love you." And he took the skirt and showed the skirt. "I could have killed you." And then Abner said, "Oh, you weren't there." And then he threw Abner's spear back and said, "There it is. I was close enough to take it." But look how he had a mercy. And then when Saul did die, he mourned so greatly that because he recognized he was God's anointed. You know, Saul was God's anointed. But the man tried to kill him. So certainly had some understanding of mercy and love and goodness and things like that. And it allowed him to serve more. Let's go to Colossians. Oh, I want to read a couple different translations of this verse 32. The NLT, didn't look up what that means, but it's the
New Living Translation.
New Living Translation, there you go. "I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding." The CSB. Says, I pursue the way of your commands, for you broaden my understanding. So as his understanding of truth grew, and of God, and of the things of God, his desire to do the word, to run in those commandments, grew. And that's that capacity to grow in a service, which is really wonderful. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Very familiar verse of scripture. My pages are getting thinner. I can't rip through them too quickly anymore. Chapter 1, verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," referring to their first getting into God's word and believing, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that," indicating the reason being, "you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in some works," in every good work, "and increasing in the knowledge of God." So here it's the gaining of understanding of God's will, and then the walking afterwards. David said he was going to run in those commandments because God kept enlarging or expanding his understanding of truth. And here's the same basic truth. You know, as we learn God's word, we will be able to walk worthy of the Lord and serve him. It's really wonderful. Let's go to, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Remember, another example was Paul. Paul didn't start out wanting to love God. I mean, he thought he was loving God. But he initially tried to kill the believers. He tried to disrupt all the fellowships and kill those who were following the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he actually had them murdered, put them in prison. And then he got witnessed to by the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a 180 turn. And then he started actually risking his life to help God's people. Something changed in his heart and his life. And really what it was he started learning the truth of God's word. He had a very distorted understanding of the Old Testament. He was extremely knowledgeable of the scriptures, but his understanding of it wasn't in light of what it was. I mean, he didn't understand mercy. He didn't understand a lot of things. He knew who the prophets' names were and stuff like that, but he didn't have a complete understanding of it. And then when he got born again, he started realizing what he didn't know. It started growing in the scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 is just a terrific verse in light of all this stuff. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "which is given unto us." The word "shed abroad" is also the word is translated as "pour out," like in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It's a pouring out. It's just like emptying it into something else. And here it's talking about the love of God is poured out or shed upon or shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And the Holy Spirit's in reference to the gift of Holy Spirit we receive. Part of that gift of Holy Spirit that we receive has the love of God in it. So it's a great verse, because it's really just showing that we have the love of God, and it's been poured into us and continues to pour into us as we operate the Spirit of God and walk with God. I'm sure we've all been there maybe thousands of times where we think, "I just can't love any bigger than I'm loving now, or I can't do any more than I'm doing now, or I'm full. I can't seem to get any bigger." But here it's talking about he sheds it abroad into or pours it because of the Spirit of God in us. So as we choose to do God's word, we have the Spirit of God energizing us and working with us to do what it is that God would have us to do, which is really wonderful. And we've all been there where it's like you got the choice to doing what God's telling you to do, or you got the choice to do something that might be more fun, or whatever. I don't know. But we have the capacity to grow. And as we operate the Spirit of God and we move with the things of God, God works with us and energizes us. Jesus Christ wasn't a robot. He kept growing as he learned, and as a youth, he kept growing in his understanding and capacity to be the Savior, which is really something. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But that Spirit of God in us helps us. If we get to a point where we think, I can't love bigger, we just ask God for help. We have the opportunity to grow. It is like that balloon. It just keeps getting bigger as we keep operating that Spirit of God. It gets bigger. It just does. Our spirit doesn't get bigger, but our capacity to do what God would have us to do gets bigger. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's about Paul, and he's talking to the Corinthians. And this is in regard to, obviously after he got born again and started helping God's people and walking and learning and growing. And in verse 9, he says, "For though I be free from all men," he's at liberty.
What chapter?
Chapter 9. Oh. Did I say 9?
You said chapter 9 and verse 9.
Verse 19. Yeah. My apologies. 9:19. "For though I be free from all men," he doesn't have a debt to all people, "yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." He didn't have to serve man. He had no debt. Like, sometimes we have a debt to do something because we owe somebody something. I'm cleaning your house because I owe something to you. Or I'm cleaning or I'm doing this because I owe you and I'm paying you back, so to speak. He didn't have a debt to anybody. Yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, and he was a Jew, I became as a Jew. And you say, oh, well, he was already a Jew. It's kind of like being easy. You're already a Jew. That I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by some means gain some. Right?
All things.
I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So he chose to relate to whoever he was around in terms of their understanding. So the Jews, in that day and time, the Jews didn't want to be anything near the Gentiles, and the Gentiles couldn't get near the Jews because the Jews wouldn't let them. So I'm sure they thought, well, F you too. You know, but he became to whoever he needed to be to ever, with whatever, you know. If we wanted to maybe speak the word of God in some of these Eastern countries, maybe we would change how we dress so they don't look at us like some weirdo, you know. You know, you sort of just try to blend in to a point where your actions aren't a stopping point for them to say, I don't want to listen to that person. They look so weird or whatever, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, what a service of love. But he had kept growing. But at one time he used to murder Christians. He definitely changed and grew. So it's just a great opportunity we have that we can serve. God does want us to serve, not only him and the Lord Jesus Christ, but our, you know, one another. And it does take choices. And as we spend more and more time growing in and understanding the word, it comes. It just starts to come bigger and bigger. So, and we are wonderful at serving one another and serving people. This is no new news to anybody. We've been at it for a while. But you know, as you get older, you tend to lose focus of other people's needs, and you just start focusing. It's easy to get tempted to just start focusing with what's in your own life, and life gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And it's just, I think it's a natural occurrence. We never want to get to that point. We want to always keep our heart open to continue to grow in service, no matter how old we are. Maybe we can't do it as well because physical things or whatever, but if our lives get to a point that it keeps narrowing, that's not a good sign. We want to grow. We want to give. We want to help, and to our best ability. So it's a wonderful life.